From Genesis to Revelation, generosity is a theme throughout the Bible. And we find the ultimate generosity in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am Rob West. As children of a generous God, Christians are called to be generous in turn. To encourage you in your journey, I'll share 10 famous quotes on generosity today. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, the Bible describes generosity in various ways. Jesus instructs his followers to share with those who have nothing, saying, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." That's Luke 3:10-11. The Apostle Paul reminds us to give without obligation. Give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We find that in 2 Corinthians 9. Psalm 112 equates generosity with righteousness, showing that it's not just an action, but a reflection of godly character. Throughout history, godly men and women have pondered the importance of generosity, offering wisdom that continues to inspire. Here are 10 timeless quotes on generosity that highlight its spiritual significance. C.S. Lewis, the beloved author of The Chronicles of Narnia and The Screwtape Letters, answered the question, "How much should I give?" with this response, "I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare." John Wesley, the 18th century preacher and founder of Methodism, offered this memorable encouragement, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Generosity transforms ordinary possessions into eternal blessings. A.W. Tozer, a 20th century American pastor and theologian, explained it this way, "Any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality." We know that everything we have belongs to God, and He calls us to use what He provides to bless others. Evangelist Billy Graham emphasized the link between our view of money and our relationship with God, saying, "Tell me what you think about money, and I will tell you what you think about God, for these two are closely related. A man's heart is closer to his wallet than anything else." What about our motives for giving? Pastor Chip Ingram reminds us of the difference between giving and generosity. He says, "Giving is an action. Generosity is a matter of the heart. You can give and not be generous, but you can't be generous without giving." Randy Alcorn, the author of The Treasure Principle, explains how giving reshapes our priorities. "Giving affirms Christ's lordship. It dethrones me and exalts him." Generosity flows from a heart transformed by God's love. St. Augustine of Hippo, a 4th century theologian, described giving, what he called charity, as a virtue that connects us to God. Charity is a virtue which, when our affections are perfectly ordered, unites us to God, for by it we love him. Irish missionary and writer Amy Carmichael beautifully captured the link between love and generosity, saying, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." J.I. Packer, the author of Knowing God, ties God's generosity to the ultimate demonstration of his love. "The measure of all love is its giving. The measure of the love of God is the cross of Christ." Finally, Jesus himself offers the ultimate encouragement for generosity in Luke 6:38. "Give, and it will be given you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." When we give, we reflect the love and generosity of our Heavenly Father. We give because He first gave to us our life, salvation, and every blessing we enjoy. Here's my hope and prayer for you, that these quotes would encourage and challenge you to live generously, not out of obligation, but out of a heart filled with gratitude to God. Generosity is not just about sharing wealth. It's about trusting God to meet our needs as we meet the needs of others. If we give, it requires an open hand, which means God can take it out. He can also put it back in. What an opportunity to worship the Lord as we give generously to those causes on the heart of God. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In Isaiah 12, 6, the people sing a wonderful song that ends with these words, "Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." Little did they know that 700 years later, that Holy One of Israel would be among humanity and with a human body just like theirs. When we read the Christmas story, we might take for granted that God's people in the Old Testament never could have expected such a wonderful gift. And as Paul would write, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that His top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything He won't, and then He does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible through cover to cover? Well, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. When you look at the scope of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see a lot of recurring themes. One of those is the concept of abundance. Now, the dictionary defines abundance as the condition of being in rich supply. Who wouldn't want to be in God's rich supply? Unfortunately, time after time in Scripture, we read of God's people rejecting His abundance and running after worldly pleasures or selfish desires instead. From the beginning, God's plan was for His creation to experience abundance. God created an Eden to be a place of abundance. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, they rejected abundance by disobeying God. Well, later, God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt and led them to a new place of abundance, a land filled with milk and honey. Over time, God's people got complacent and rebellious. We read this, you know, over and over in the Old Testament. They were worshiping pagan gods, and worse, they lost their abundance again and ended up in exile. You see, this cycle happens over and over, and as people traded God's blessings for their own convenience, greed, and sin, that seems to be the story of our time as well, doesn't it?
Finally, God's promises of abundance reach their fulfillment in Christ, who says that in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus sealed that promise by dying on the cross, taking our sin, disobedience, and shame on himself. His resurrection broke the power of death once and for all. Now you and I can live abundantly without fear. Now, of course, the story of God's abundance doesn't end with our redemption. Jesus promised his followers that he would return in glory. In John 14:3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So Christians look forward to Jesus' return and ultimately to eternal blessings in heaven. Now, in Psalm 66:12, it says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." The psalmist was referring to God leading Israel into the promised land, but the same goes for God's people today. Heaven is our promised land, and we look forward to enjoying God's abundance there. Now, that's the good news. You see, whether or not you've read through the whole Bible, you can still experience God's abundance today, and it really has nothing to do with how much money you have. In Christ, we can all experience God's love, his amazing grace, his complete peace, and the hope of heaven. Our gratitude for these blessings should stimulate our praise and our desire to serve and help others too. So I hope maybe today you reflect just a bit on God's gift of abundance as you think about it, search the scriptures, and live in the reality of it. All right, let's get going today. We're going to begin in Texas. Lupe, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. How can we serve you?
So I am 61 years old, and I want to file for Social Security at 62, but I have so much credit card debt and loan debt, I'm thinking about filing bankruptcy. And I just wonder what your take is on that. I looked up your credit counseling thing, but they don't take care of one of my loans, so I didn't go any further with them.
Okay,
isn't it
all right.
Trinity?
Well, Trinity is one of the underwriters here. The one that we're most familiar with at Faith and Finance Live is Christian Credit Counselors. We just have a longstanding relationship. Both wonderful organizations. You can't go wrong. So you could certainly reach out as an alternative to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's Christian Credit Counselors. Social Security benefits are considered exempt assets, typically. I'm not an attorney, so you'd want to check with an attorney. But just generally speaking, they're protected from creditors during bankruptcy. So if you were forced into bankruptcy for whatever reason, you won't find that word in the Bible. What you do find is that we need to have an absolute commitment to repayment within what has been provided to you. And I realized, despite the decisions that have been made leading up to this point, the question is, how can you manage what God has entrusted to you, the assets that you have and the income you have, and how do you use that to both satisfy the obligations you have as well as, you know, meet your basic needs, you know, keep food on the table, gas in the car, the utilities paid, and a roof over your head. I mean, once we get past those big four, then everything else should be negotiable as you try to honor your obligations and give to the Lord and balance your budget. So what I would do, Lupe, is reach out to ChristianCreditCounselors.org just as an alternative. Perhaps they could help you work up a budget and think about how you can begin to get on a path to pay back those credit cards over time. The benefit of a debt management program is those interest rates are dropped. You send one level monthly payment. They'll work with you and make sure it fits into your budget, or they won't put you in the program. But if it does, then at least every month now you're making more meaningful progress toward paying it back because of the lower interest rates. Apart from that, you could visit with a certified Christian financial counselor. We have some of them available on our website. You could also visit with a godly bankruptcy attorney just to see whether that is necessary, just from a legal standpoint. But does that make sense?
What do you mean by a godly bankruptcy attorney?
I mean an attorney who specializes in bankruptcy, who's a Christ follower. And you certainly can find attorneys. And again, you won't find bankruptcy in the Bible. It's a modern legal term that was created. And many Christ followers find themselves because of any number of circumstances, whether it was lifestyle spending, poor choices, or just unforeseen events out of their control, where they're forced into bankruptcy for protection. But they often will go on to come up with a plan to repay those obligations, you know, after the fact. And you're not precluded from doing that. But that's all I mean is just a Christ follower who shares your values and priorities as a believer, who is an attorney and who is has skills and competencies in the area of bankruptcy. Perhaps you could reach out to your church and see if there's one in your local fellowship. So hopefully that helps you, Lupe. Again, that website, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And we appreciate you being a part of the program today. By the way, here at Faith and Finance, we want to not only give you godly counsel on this program each day, but we want to help you find a community of godly folks who can come alongside you, because we realize that part of your stewardship journey is seeking that wise counsel along the way. That can come in many forms. It can come just the way I mentioned a moment ago to Lupe. If you're in credit card debt, reaching out to our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. If you need help with making sure you have offset the cost of health care and you can do that in a way that's affordable, Christian Healthcare Ministries can be a great resource. If you're looking for a professional advisor, think financial planning, investment management, accounting, insurance, estate planning, and you want somebody who shares your values, who's met high standards in character and competency, and they've had a pastoral reference and a client reference and a regulatory review, well, that's the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's our go-to here for godly professionals that can serve you. You can find a CKA in your area when you go to faithfi.com and click Find a Professional. I hope that's helpful for you. Now, just a quick reminder as we head into this next break, don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. A quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click Give. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
As an AFA insider, you're part of a community that stands strong for biblical values and works tirelessly to influence culture and policy with truth. Advancing biblical values and ensuring a stronger, upright America for our families and future generations. AFA Insider, formerly AFA Alert, informs you first about AFA's mission and aiding the church in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Sign up to receive AFA Insider emails at afa.net.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income, and then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-1000. 4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, we've got room for you today. We're taking your calls and questions. We'll get back to the phones in just a minute. So if you have a financial question today, you'd like to be a part of the broadcast, I'd invite you to do just that. Would you call right now, 800-525-7000? That's 800-525-7000. We can tackle your spending plan questions. How do you get on a budget and stick with it? How do you find something that actually works for you? I can share some ideas on that. Perhaps it's navigating the stock market, starting off flat today, but boy, we've had a red hot year, and who would have thought, right? And heading into next year, all the prospects of growth and cutting government waste and regulation, and what could that do to our economy? Perhaps this bull market has more legs. We could talk about navigating your 401k or investments. What if you're on the sideline? How do you enter and win? What about paying down debt or giving generously? Whatever's on your mind today, we'd love to tackle those questions. Again, lines are open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll also be speaking to Bob Dahl today in our final segment. Bob is our resident market expert. He's a frequent contributor on Wall Street, both on Fox Business and CNBC, speaking all over the world on the markets. Bob is a Christ follower, a good friend of ours here. He's on the board of directors at Kingdom Advisors, and he joins us each Monday with his market commentary. Today, he'll be providing his year-end recap for his 10 predictions. Bob is well-known across Wall Street for his 10 annual predictions on the markets and the economy. And this year, well, he'll tell you how he did with his 2024 predictions, and perhaps we can even get a precursor of what might be coming just after the first of the year with the 2025 predictions. Bob Dahl coming up just a bit later in the broadcast. We'll look forward to that. In the news today, before we head to the phones again, time is running out for most flexible spending account holders, although some FSA plans have an extended grace period. Eligible spending for about 70% of account holders expires on December 31st. That's just 2 weeks from now. That means use it or lose it for most FSA account holders. According to the market research firm Numerator, folks with flexible spending accounts put in an average of $2,250 annually. That money is contributed tax-deferred, giving account holders a significant break on qualified out-of-pocket medical, dental, vision, and dependent care expenses. Those include doctor's visits, prescriptions, over-the-counter medicines, insulin, surgery, vision care, a host of other expenses. So here's the bottom line. If you have money left in your FSA, your flexible spending account, time is running out to schedule any medically necessary procedures. Failing that, you can always stock up on medical supplies, anything from, again, insulin to Band-Aids, or order a backup pair of glasses or contacts to use up those remaining funds. Different than an HSA, which allows you to carry those balances over. And in fact, that becomes a pretty effective retirement planning tool. With the FSA, again, in 70% of cases, you will lose it at December 31st. With those other accounts, you may have a little bit of a grace period, but you will eventually, with an FSA, lose all of it if you don't spend it. So just keep that in mind over the next couple of weeks. All right, let's head to the phones. Again, we've got, looks like, three lines open at 800-525-7000. To Tennessee. Hi, Billy. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
For receiving my call. Listen, I got two children, 41 and 51, and in the last few years, they have become millionaires. And so I want some literature that I can give it, a book I can give it to them for Christians that will help them develop a plan for investing in the kingdom. And on one of your shows, I heard about somebody was talking about, we, you know, you make enough money to retire, you know. I mean, you know, it's on the end, just making money. But I want to know, what's the limit that they should go to know they have enough for retirement and they can invest more in the kingdom?
Yeah. It's a great question, and what you're talking about is what we'll refer to as a financial finish line, or answering the question, how much is enough? And, you know, that's a really key idea, especially as a Christ follower, as we think about our role in managing God's money. I think we always need to be asking the question, how much is enough? And that includes both for our lifestyle as well as our accumulation. So how much is enough for our monthly spending? There's not a quote, appropriate Christian lifestyle. It's ultimately between you as the steward and the Lord. And if you're married, you and your spouse and the Lord, as you determine what is that appropriate lifestyle for you. And I think it takes a matter of prayer and some really thoughtful consideration, you know, as you think through that. You know, some people will use a multiple of the, you know, average income in their area. Others will, you know, look at their current lifestyle and say, I'm not going to, you know, go beyond this. No matter how much income continues to come in, I'm going to cap it here. You know, there's a number of ways you can approach that, but I've found that every time someone goes through that exercise, you know, they come out on the other side just with a lot of joy and fulfillment, because what it allows you to do is say, you know, there is a point where I just don't need anymore. And then I can see additional provision from the Lord as an opportunity to give generously and get it back into God's kingdom, which I think is just an amazing privilege that we have as believers to be invited into God's kingdom building activities in your city and around the globe. And we need to be looking at that. We also need to be thinking about the finish line for long-term accumulation. And I think this is what you're referring to, which is this idea that, you know what, there is enough there at some point, and you may already be at enough, and therefore everything that comes in beyond the point you're currently at in terms of the assets you've already accumulated, you're going to start looking for opportunities to give it away. And guess what? When you do that, that's going to drive taxes down, which means you have even more to give away. So I think it's an important exercise. Couple of thoughts here. Let me send you a book called Master Your Money from Ron Blue. It addresses, among other things, this idea of a financial finish line, and perhaps you could pass this on to the kids at Christmas time. Again, it's called Master Your Money by a good friend of ours, Ron Blue. Stay on the line, Billy. We'll get two copies of that out to you as our gift to you. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart, but Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Request a copy of the Look at the Sparrows devotional today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, we were talking to Billy before the break about a financial finish line, and one of the articles in our brand new publication, Faithful Steward, that is due out next month. That's right, in the middle of January, we'll launch this new beautiful quarterly digest, 52 pages and chock full of articles and content that's theologically sound and practical and wise. And the idea is that you would have a resource every quarter that would just encourage you in your role as a steward of managing God's money, beautifully designed. I can't wait for you to get your hands on it. But one of the articles that we tackle in the first inaugural edition of Faithful Steward is this idea of setting your first finish line. That's right. Think about this. You know, after 40 years of wandering the desert, standing across the Jordan River from the Promised Land, Moses addressed the nation of Israel, and he was preparing them for one of their greatest challenges yet. This final test would be more challenging than disease, more challenging than hunger, more challenging than attacks from rival nations. What was it? It was prosperity. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. You remember that in Deuteronomy 8? Well, in this reminder, Moses provides two warnings. First, he warns of the deceptive ability of wealth to draw our attention away from him and onto our strength and wit. And second, he reminds Israel that every ounce of the abundance that they were about to behold belonged to God alone. They would only ever be stewards of that gift. And, you know, every one of us today faces that same test. I've faced it in my own life, and I would say that I haven't always been up to that challenge. I'm sure some of you listening would agree with that statement. Well, one tool that has dramatically turned the tide for a lot of folks is this idea of a financial finish line. And our friend Cody Hobelman writes about this in this first edition of Faithful Steward in this article, Setting Your First Finish Line. And he provides an allocation framework. And this is along the lines of what I was just talking about with Billy. But in the broader framework of generosity and financial stewardship, allocation refers to the way a person answers this question, how much do I give and how much do I keep? And nearly all givers fall into five major allocation structures. We can use spontaneous giving. We can set a giving goal. We can do percentage giving, we can do an incremental percentage giving opportunity, or we can set a financial finish line. Now, let's talk about each of these because I think these are really important as we think about kind of how we want to go about this. But a financial finish line is really that opportunity to change the paradigm completely by setting this defined maximum on personal spending. You see, every other allocation framework assumes that the giver, as the default owner of the resources who then allocates a portion to God's kingdom. Well, a finish line assumes God is the default owner. And in this case, we take only what we need of God's resources and we use the rest for God's kingdom. Now, all of our personal finances can be seen as a constant flow of resources into our control, which we then allocate to basically four buckets: personal spending, taxes, planning for the future, and let's call it giving or kingdom building. Now, personal spending includes everything we spend to maintain our lifestyle month to month. So, you know, we're talking the main expenses here: food and transportation and your mortgage, you know, whatever it is, personal debt. Planning for the future involves savings, retirement planning, investing, real estate investing, business ownership. Every month we may contribute resources to further plan for the future, or we may use previously saved resources to facilitate our personal spending. That would typically happen during retirement. And then, of course, kingdom building involves all forms of giving, ministry, and other impact work. Well, the most important finish line is going to be your spending or your lifestyle finish line. A spending finish line is the maximum you're going to be willing to spend on your own lifestyle month to month. And this type of finish line, I think, is the most protective against lifestyle inflation, what some people call lifestyle creep. And there's many ways to set a spending finish line, but here's the three most common that we see and that Cody writes about in this article in the new Faithful Steward publication. The first is what we might call a maintenance spending finish line. So you determine the spending necessary to maintain your current lifestyle by reviewing your expenses for the past few months, and then a maintenance finish line involves simply refusing to increase your spending from this level. So you essentially kind of establish a ceiling and say, I'm not going beyond that, regardless of how much comes in to my home. The second would be what you might call a benchmark spending finish line. So you use an external reference point to determine how much a person in your circumstances should expect to need month to month. Well, there's a lot of great tools you can use. Cody and his brother Keelan have something called the Finish Line Pledge at finishlinepledge.com. You could look at that. You could do a multiple of kind of the average, you know, annual income in your town. You could look at any number of opportunities there. And, you know, as you establish that benchmark finish line, so you kind of compare yourself to others, and then you determine prayerfully where you're going to set it. And then I think the third one is what I might call a prioritization spending finish line. So in this one, you begin by reflecting on how God is working in and through you and your family. You review all of your expenses from the last few months and identify spending areas that maybe are distracting you from God's greater purpose in your life. You determine how much your monthly spending would decrease by adjusting those spending areas. You know, the easiest way to begin with a new spending finish line is to give it a 3 to 6 month trial period. I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone turn back after that trial run, but think of your new finish line, whichever of these models you choose, as your first spending finish line. Almost everyone needs to adjust their finish line from time to time, and you don't want to feel pressure to get it right or get it perfect the first time around. It's much better to start somewhere and then refine it over time than never start at all. Now, once you have a spending finish line in place, you will soon have most of the details needed to set a net worth or accumulation finish line to guide your planning for the future. Because remember, what we were talking about is month-to-month spending, but you also have to think about how much am I setting aside, and is there an enough number or a finish line for that, for accumulation or net worth? And that's a wonderful conversation to bring your financial advisor into so they can help you maintain your spending finish line for life. And by the way, that's yet one more reason why we would say it's important to have a certified kingdom advisor that's working with you, somebody who shares your values as a Christ follower and can understand what it is you're trying to accomplish and perhaps not derail you from capping your lifestyle or capping your accumulation so that you can accelerate your giving. But here's what I would say to you. Over time, you're going to see the incredible fruit in your life after setting a finish line. it's just the beginning, I think, of an incredible adventure. And some of the most inspiring givers I know have done this, and they will tell you it was a game changer, not only for them financially and in their family and in their marriage, but spiritually as well. Think about that. This is going to be in our first edition of Faithful Steward, out next month. I can't wait for you to see it. A quick break and back with Bob Dahl.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before we head back to the phones, Bob Dahl is here. It's Monday, and in this segment of the broadcast, he joins us each week with his market commentary. Bob is CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, one of the leaders in the faith-based investing space. Bob, normally we get your take on the markets. This week, a recap on your 10 predictions. Now, for someone who's not familiar with your 10 predictions, give us just a thumbnail sketch of what you do every year.
Yeah, it's like writing a master's thesis, Rob. I put piles of paper around me that I've accumulated over the prior couple of months, and I just start writing down ideas, see which ones are consistent with the other. The goal is to make people think, including myself, about what the world's going to look like next year in terms of the economy and earnings and interest rates and the Fed and capital markets and politics and all those good things. And, our goal, of course, is to get them right also, Rob. But it's more about helping people think.
Yeah, well, you do a great job at that. And I know this is something a lot of folks up and down Wall Street look forward to each year. And, you know, when you put yourself out there, Bob, especially at how quickly things change around the world these days, people tend to keep score. So how did you do this year?
we did okay. Our grader has given us 7 out of 10, which is about our long-term average, which is, I think, 72%. Where we failed, let's start there, Rob, was we were just too cautious on the economy, more importantly, too cautious on the stock market as it went from expensive to more expensive because the earnings did reasonably well. Yeah. We had, on the other hand, some good calls related to inflation being sticky, therefore the Fed not lowering rates as much as people thought. We got our sector prediction very right, as it were, the election. One of the ones, geopolitical cross currents multiply, that certainly happened, but have little impact on markets. We feel good about that prediction. I wish the currents hadn't multiplied.
Yes.
And then then for all of us that are faith-based, faith-based share of industry AUM rises for the eighth year in a row. You know the story better than anybody, Rob. More and more individuals, financial advisors, and institutions are spending time aligning their investments with their values. It's a great thing.
Yeah, let's talk about that a bit more, Bob. I mean, you and I know the data says that when presented with the opportunity, believers in dramatic numbers want access to and want to see their values implemented in their investments. And yet we know it's just a drop in the bucket in terms of what's actually been deployed. Why do you think that is, and what is it going to take to see that accelerate?
You know, there are several things. It's prove it to me. I hear that. I hear, well, still, how much do I have to give up to do that despite all the empirical studies that have come out and said you don't lose anything? A legitimate objection is capital gains. I got to move out of those stocks into these stocks and generate a gain. And that's hard to do. And that holds people back. And the whole education process, it's like when you say, oh, math. I like math. Could you educate me? It takes a few years sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we're certainly doing our part to make sure that financial advisors are not only aware of this, but able to use this in their portfolios, because I think that's a big barrier. Bob, the other one, though, is 401ks, because a lot of these plan administrators are slow to add faith-based investing mutual funds like Crossmark, right?
Yes, absolutely. The approval the education process of those home offices, and then the approval process, it all just takes more time than we might think. Can't just wave a magic wand.
Yeah. Bob, one of the predictions that didn't turn out the way you all anticipated related to credit spreads, and I'd love for you just to unpack that a bit. What did you expect, and what did we see, and why?
Yeah, I meant to include that in this is what we got wrong. We were too cautious. What happened during the year as it relates to credit spreads is the economy got better, and as a result, yields on corporates and high-yield instruments compressed. They became closer to those treasury yields, and many of those spreads, as you know, are historically tight. That is, we've never seen them this close to treasuries as people just gain confidence that the world's okay and likely to stay that way.
Yeah, interesting. Bob, what about earnings? I know you correctly predicted that earnings growth would fall short of the double-digit percentage consensus expectation. We did end up with single-digit earnings growth. And yet, despite that, not reaching double digits, incredible strength in the market. Are those two things, you know, out of sync with one another?
Not necessarily, although it does point to the fact that if you look at the gains this year in the stock market, a little less than a third of it came from earnings. Two-thirds came from the price-earnings ratio, valuations moving higher at a pretty rapid rate. It is often the case that earnings estimates from the beginning of the year get cut during the year, as analysts tend to overestimate the earnings for the companies that they in particular follow. So that's not all that unusual, but it took, I mean, coming into the year, the guess was 12% by the consensus, and it took till about 6 weeks ago before that consensus moved under 10. So it's been a slow decline.
Yeah, very good. Bob, any precursors or preview of coming attractions for the predictions next year? Perhaps a theme that you could share with us?
Yeah, the theme for this past year was, does Goldilocks remain a fairy tale?
yes.
We could repeat it. I doubt we will. We haven't come up with a final theme yet. But it's going to be something along the lines of the opportunities, have the risks gone up? Have the tails widened? We have an election. We have a lot of policy uncertainty, and that is likely to play into, at a minimum, some higher volatility, probably in both directions.
Yeah. All right. And as you've said before, you feel like or still feel like we're headed into a period where the average annual returns over the next 10 to 20 years are certainly not going to be quite as rich as the last few decades, correct?
Correct. And like the last 2 years, 25 and 27. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, it sure would be. Well, Bob, we'll look forward to unpacking your predictions for 2025, which, can you believe it, is just around the corner.
The year's gone by so fast. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Merry Christmas, Bob. We'll talk to you real soon. Lord bless you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and CEO at Crossmark Global Investments. If you want to learn more, you can go to crossmarkglobal.com. While you're there, sign up for his weekly investment commentary, and that will ensure that when his 10 predictions are out for 2025, you'll get a copy of those as well. All right, head back to the phones here. We're going to round out the broadcast in just a moment, but first to Louisiana. Ken, thanks for waiting patiently, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm 65 years old, and I have a conventional IRA. It's a little over $1 million. And I'm wondering, should I start converting some of that traditional to a Roth, since I'll be required to take that RMD at 73?
Yeah, not necessarily, Ken. I mean, there's a case for that potentially, but I wouldn't say just automatically. Are you still working right now?
No, I'm retired.
You are retired. Okay. Yeah, so you have to begin taking that RMD, but not until April 1st of the year following the year you turn 73. So you've got a good bit of time here before you have to start taking a required minimum. Secondly, you know, if you were to convert this roughly $1 million, even if you did it over several years, I mean, you could have hundreds of thousands of dollars in income tax that you would have to pay as you make, well, you'd have several hundred thousand dollars each year of income that would be taxable. So not necessarily the tax bill would be hundreds of thousands, but, you know, that's a lot of tax that would be paid on a lot of income as you recognize it in the conversion. The other thing I would say is keep in mind one of the great ways to satisfy that RMD, so long as it continues to be available, is something that you can start doing once you're 70 and a half. And therefore, you could also do it when you're 73 and that required minimum kicks in, which is a qualified charitable distribution. And so any giving that you're doing out of checking or savings right now, let's say your weekly tithe to the church or just, you know, end of year giving or whatever it is, you could replace that. Instead of sending that check out of your checking account, you could just start sending it from your IRA directly to your church or another ministry or charity. Again, it could be the same amount you're already doing. I'm not necessarily saying you have to give any more, but the qualified charitable distribution allows you to get that money out of your IRA without ever paying any tax on it and satisfy your required minimum. So that's something that a lot of people miss. So if you wanted to take advantage of that, you wouldn't need to convert anything to a Roth. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. So I think you're in good shape, but remember, you know, you're still looks like about 8 years away from needing to take an RMD, and I don't think you necessarily have to convert anything to a Roth. But hopefully that gives you a few things to think about, sir. Lord bless you, and all the best to you in this exciting season of life as you seek out what God has for you in terms of what's next. Thanks for calling. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. You know, here in the closing moments of the broadcast, let me invite you here at year end to prayerfully consider a gift to FaithFi. We are just under $80,000 away from closing out our listener support goal for the year. It sounds like a lot, and it is, but we're going to get there. A lot of generous folks who really value this ministry coming alongside us to encourage us and support the work of equipping God's people. And here's the exciting thing. Some generous donors have said, we're going to double every gift till December 31st. Every gift of any size, as it comes in, let us know. We're going to send the same amount and double it. So if you'd consider a gift right now, it'd be a real blessing to help us reach our goal. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy Dickinson, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, and everybody here at FaithFi. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.